Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. I created this podcast as a platform to answer your questions and dive deeper into different aspects of each attachment style. I also share personal insights and stories in order to help you make sense of what you are experiencing. So please listen with an open heart and an open mind. Without further ado, let's get into it. So before we get into today's podcast episode, I wanted to inform you that you can now sign up for my digital course, My Secure Self Academy for the Anxious Attachment Style. This is a self-paced course guiding you through my entire coaching process with actionable steps and tools to move you away from worry and doubt and into confidence and security within yourself and your relationships. You also have access to me once a month for live Q&As to answer any of your burning questions. So to learn more and sign up, you can visit the link in the show notes or visit my website, jessicadasilvacoaching.com. Hope to see you there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast episode on why fear of abandonment is the root of attachment trauma and how to shift it. So I am currently recording this episode from Florence, Italy. This is actually my first time visiting Europe in my 34 years of life, and it is absolutely incredible, you guys. I am in shock by just the beauty and the energy of this country. But before that, you know, before coming here, I had come to a close with 7 clients I was working with one-on-one and had finished recording the last module to my digital course, my Secure Self Academy for the Anxious Attachment Style. So this has just been a wonderful and very, very necessary time to just reboot for a bit and enjoy some time off. Even though when you own a business and you do a lot of content creation, it's never time off. It is never time off, but that's okay because luckily I love what I do. So let's dive into today's podcast episode. So I wanted to focus this week's episode on the topic of abandonment, because when we look at attachment trauma and the root cause to our painful thoughts, our painful feelings, our painful behaviors, we can always scale it down to fear of abandonment, especially again, when we are focusing on attachment. So what does abandonment look like? I wanted to break this down for you guys because many of us think, you know, when we think of abandonment, we think of physical abandonment, but it's so much more intricate than that. Abandonment can look like being physically left, obviously, but it can also look like emotional neglect, meaning your attachment figures didn't really meet your emotional, mental, or physical needs the way you desired to feel loved, supported, or truly taken care of. It can look like feeling socially rejected, feeling dismissed or unimportant, being ignored, not feeling seen, heard, or understood, feeling unlovable, not good enough or unworthy. It could look like isolation, divorce, infidelity, bullying, disapproval. You know, when caregivers or partners struggle with alcoholism, addiction, or mental health issues and can't give you the attention or the care that you require to feel loved, right? Or maybe, you know, your caregivers had work or your siblings that they had to divide their attention with. All of these situations that are very common amongst all of us humans can cause what we call abandonment trauma, meaning the way we reacted to these situations really emotionally impacted us. So we perceived it as threatening due to the powerlessness or the loneliness or overwhelm that we maybe felt in those instances. And it's really important to note here that all of us humans experience threat very differently. So a threat that can cause a traumatic experience for me might not feel as threatening or severe for you, because how we perceive and respond to certain situations is very, very different based on our, you know, our unique sensitivities, our personalities, our coping strategies, our beliefs, our experiences, and so forth. So again, these situations made you feel small, they made you feel insignificant, powerless, overwhelmed, and alone in your experience. And when we look at the definition of abandonment, this particular definition comes from dictionary.com. It's the act or instance, It's the act or instance of leaving a person or thing permanently and completely. So it's not just a one-time occurrence. We can feel left behind or dismissed or rejected in many different instances. So if you have attachment trauma, which if you have an insecure attachment style, such as the anxious, the fearful avoidant, the dismissive avoidant, you definitely have some form of abandonment trauma. And what happens is that when certain experiences occur, or when people act out or don't act in certain ways, so if they act in certain ways or if they don't act in certain ways, is what I'm trying to say, it can trigger these wounds and it causes a lot of discomfort and insecurity in your mind and in your body. So I'm going to give you an example just to kind of show you what this looks like. And it's a personal example. So I came on this trip to Italy with three girlfriends, and we've been traveling around and, you know, also helping one of our friends with a couple of events that she has going on here. So it's been kind of a mix of work and pleasure. So being a recovering fearful avoidant myself, I've had a lot of trauma around abandonment and betrayal, okay? To the point where it doesn't just affect my romantic relationships, but it really seeps into, you know, how I perceive social situations and friendship dynamics, okay? So I'm very sensitive to certain gestures. I'm very sensitive to certain language, just to certain dynamics, okay? And when you're traveling with three people, okay, attention can get divided in sometimes unbalanced ways. And that's okay. But if you have sensitivities around, you know, feeling rejected or feeling not included or feeling unloved or insignificant, this lack of attention can cause some distress and insecurity. And the more I put myself in new situations, the more layers of attachment trauma I am seeing come to the surface. Okay. And as uncomfortable as it, you know, may feel, right, these triggers may feel, it's also very necessary for our healing, because it's showing us aspects of ourselves that need attention and processing and healing. So whether your wounds are being triggered by friendship dynamics, work environment, family dynamics, romantic relationship dynamics, any social dynamic, the feelings are always stemming from the same abandonment wounds. So over the past few years, I have done a lot of work around managing my triggers in regards to, you know, my romantic relationship. But this friendship dynamic is fairly new to me, because I don't normally hang out with these specific three people all together. Mind you, a 3-week trip when we're just together all of the time. And, you know, although I can't control the uncomfortable feelings from surfacing, right? Because insecurities and triggers are just inevitable, you guys. It's just part of the human experience. We can't get rid of it, right? We're gonna feel uncomfortable emotions. We're gonna have insecurities. We're gonna feel discomfort. It is part of the human experience. You know, we all have triggers. But what we do have control over is how we choose to manage the discomfort when it arises. So we don't necessarily have control over our emotional experience, but we do have control over how we manage it, how we perceive it, what we do with it, how we respond to it. So when we think of the different threat responses, such as the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn response, each attachment style manages the insecurities or distress they feel in one or two of these ways. And just FYI, how your brain handles perceived threat is unique to the different aspects of your attachment. So if you have, you know, if you have some anxious with some avoidant tendencies or some fearful avoidant with some anxious tendencies, how you respond to threat can vary in one, two, three of these ways, okay? Or all four. So for me, being a recovering fearful avoidant with some anxious tendencies, I have a pattern of freezing when I feel a threat, right? When I'm feeling insecure or anxious, I have a tendency of freezing. Meaning when I feel anxious or insecure, freezing can look like not speaking my opinion, not advocating for myself, dissociating, daydreaming, distracting myself with something else, mentally checking out. That is freezing, okay? That's my brain's way of protecting myself from the pain and the discomfort that I'm experiencing. I also have a tendency of fawning, which can look like people-pleasing, entertaining, right? Flattering, being extroverted when I don't really feel like being extroverted, trying to basically win the other person's attention. My more anxious attachment can go into fighting at times, which can look like incessant monologuing, right? Criticizing, controlling, raging, wanting to find a solution immediately. A lot of implemented pressure in the moment, some aggression. This has definitely been more present for me in the past, not so much anymore. If you have a dismissive avoidant attachment style, when you feel threatened, your brain has a tendency of going into flight response, meaning you will dismiss, ignore, intellectualize, distract, deny, just distancing yourself from the stressful person or situation. So you can imagine how triggering these responses can be for people that are in that avoidant and anxious relationship dynamic, because both people respond to conflict very differently, right? One is trying to fight, the other one is trying to get the hell out of the situation. So secure attachments, when triggered, which they do get triggered as well, because again, we are all human, you guys. We all get triggered. And just because you have a secure attachment style, again, nobody is 100% securely attached. So you can be a secure attached with some maybe avoidant tendencies or fearful avoidant tendencies, or even some anxious tendencies. So we're all going to get triggered in some type of way at some point. But they generally have, you know, if you have a stronger secure attachment, you generally have healthier ways of managing anxiety and getting your needs met, which is what I try to practice myself on a daily basis. It has helped tremendously in cultivating a secure attachment within myself. And it's also what I do to help other people. It's what I try to teach you to do as well. So healthy ways of regulating ourselves is a skill that we can all learn. And just because you weren't taught these ways of relating or experiencing love or experiencing relationships, that's okay. It's all a skill that you can learn. It just takes more effort, obviously, because you're learning something different, right? It takes a lot more effort. So if we can't control our feelings, if we can't control the insecurities that surface, how do we shift our painful experiences? So first step, when you are feeling triggered or feeling insecure, take a few deep belly breaths. I love to take, deep breath in, three counts, hold for three counts, and breathe out for three counts. And I like to do that a couple of times. As you're breathing, tune into your body, and yes, tune into the feelings. Usually we want to run away from the feelings, we want to distract ourselves from the feelings. We're not doing any of that. We are going to just tune into the feelings, noticing, acknowledging the feelings that are surfacing, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's painful, even if it hurts. It's okay. Tune into the feelings. The feelings are not going to hurt you. What's going to hurt even more, I promise you, in the long run, is you avoiding those feelings. Even though it can feel very strong and very overwhelming, just allow yourself to be present with whatever is surfacing. You might cry. You might feel very hot. It is okay. This is just your body's way of regulating whatever is coming up for you. So just allow yourself to feel, number one, as you are breathing, okay? Normally, when our brain senses a threat, it goes right into wanting to protect yourself through that fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response, okay? So really, your brain is just trying to protect you. And in order to break those behavioral cycles, we need to create some space between sensing the trigger and reacting to it. So deep breaths can really create that space for you to make a different choice, to respond in a more secure way. So next, we are going to approach the situation with curiosity and compassion. So I want you to ask yourself, and you can write this down if you guys, you know, are able to, definitely write these steps down or come back to it. I want you to ask yourself, is this fearful thought or internal experience or feeling, is it 100% true, right? Like sometimes it could be just a feeling that we have, but from that feeling, it creates a lot of different fearful thoughts. So this approach, we're really targeting the thoughts in this case scenario. Okay, so you've sensed the feelings are starting to trigger some fearful thoughts. So we're targeting the thought in this case scenario. I want you to ask yourself, are these thoughts that I'm having, and try to pinpoint like one of them that tends to be a little bit more overpowering. Is this fearful thought 100% true? Is it totally true that this is happening to me, or is it just an insecurity? This question, you guys, challenges the fear. It challenges the fearful thinking patterns and gives you an opportunity to focus on a different possibility, on different possibilities of thought. Because if you have been operating in this insecure way, most likely you have been focusing on specific insecure thoughts for most of your life. So when we begin to challenge these cyclical thinking patterns, we begin to focus on other possibilities of thought, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of other possibilities of thought, okay? Aside from the one that we have been kind of focusing on for all our life, right? Those narratives that we've just kind of created based on our trauma. So when we challenge our fearful thinking patterns, we begin to see things for what they are and not from our trauma lens or stories or narratives, okay? Step three is reframe the fearful thought. So I want you to try to identify three other possibilities of thought. So using my personal example, the insecure thoughts I'm having are stemming from this feeling of just feeling left out, not feeling included, right? And I hope you guys can kind of see where the abandonment takes part in that, right? This feeling not included, feeling alone. There is really a sense of feeling abandoned in that way. So if I ask myself, okay, I'm feeling this feeling, it doesn't feel good. Look at all the thoughts that are stemming from these feelings. Instead of reacting the way I usually do, I first ask myself, is it 100% true that I'm being left out right now? Or is it just an insecurity perhaps? It feels more like an insecurity, right? So it feels more like an insecurity. I was already able to negate that thought, negate that insecurity. So three reframes for these feelings and thoughts I've used are Number one, just because attention is being divided in this moment doesn't mean I'm being rejected or that I'm insignificant. Another reframe, people don't need to talk to me all of the time, right? People don't need to talk to me all of the time, and I don't need to talk to people all of the time. That is okay. Silence is okay. Having the attention is, not having the attention is okay. That is totally fine. Number three, reframe. I am safe in these moments where I feel alone. This space is non-threatening. I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. I love you guys repeating to myself, I am safe. It is a way of regulating my own emotions. Okay, so those were three different reframes. And I want you to think about, in your case scenario, what are three different reframes, other possibilities of thought that you can tell yourself? And think of something empowering. Think of something realistic, right? Think of something more compassionate. Okay. And just by shifting and repeating these words to myself, I am able to, again, soothe my nervous system, right? My brain and my body can begin to settle down a little bit. No longer am I trying to bring attention to myself, right? To people please, to say things that I don't actually mean, to give people the silent treatment because I'm mad, right? All these just unproductive ways of just getting the attention we want. I don't have to do that anymore. Because I realized it's coming from insecurity. It's not actually real. And even if it is real, I don't have to act in those ways. And if you've listened to my podcast before or other episodes, those are protest behaviors, right? I don't have to indirectly get my needs met in these ways. I can just be me. I can just be in my space, in my energy, without having to exert myself in these very inauthentic, just unproductive ways. And let me just tell you guys, it takes practice. It takes so much practice. I mean, if you have been operating in these insecure ways, or indirect ways of getting your needs met, man, it is going to take a lot of time to, like, you're constantly recorrecting your experiences in the moment as they happen. That's why new experiences are really good to have, so that you can, you know, it gives you an opportunity to practice and implement these steps and everything that you've learned. So just have compassion with yourself and be patient with yourself, because it's a challenge. It's a challenge to correct these ways of behaving and thinking and feeling, right? And you're not correcting your feelings. You can't do that. You can only acknowledge your feelings, but you can correct the way you think about them. You can correct the way you respond to it. So lastly, I wanted to, you know, I want you to ask yourself the last step here. Ask yourself, what do I need to feel safe and secure in this moment? This is a really, really important question. What do I need to feel safe and secure in this moment? Because remember, feelings are always guiding you to your needs. When you are feeling insecure, there is some need there that is not being met. Okay. And on the opposite end of that, you know, when you're feeling good, when you're feeling connected, it's because needs are being met. So it's always down to a needs issue. So I want you to ask yourself, what do I need to feel safe and secure in this moment? Maybe challenging your thoughts and reframing them was enough for you. Maybe it's reciting an empowering affirmation or mantra. Maybe it's reassuring or just validating yourself that you're okay, right? That you're good. Maybe it is stating a boundary. Maybe it's communicating your needs if you feel as though they're really being neglected. I actually had to do that with one of my closer friends on this trip, because I was just feeling like my needs in some regards were not really being respected in a lot of ways. And so I had to bring that up. I had to bring that up, and I felt a lot better doing that. So much better doing that. Maybe it's asking for support. Maybe it's writing in your journal. I also did a lot of writing in my journal to figure out what those needs were that weren't being met. Learning and researching about your experience or what you're experiencing. This is why I love self-help books, because it's just been very, very therapeutic for me. It's been very, very comforting. Maybe it is just comforting yourself, right? When I'm feeling distressed, one of my favorite things to do is I love to place my hand on my chest and put some pressure there with my hand and just repeat to myself that I am safe, that I'm okay, that I am safe, that I'm okay in this moment. And that physical and verbal gesture is a form of somatic therapy and extremely effective for regulating your body and your nervous system. So, you guys, I invite you to try this method and see how it works for you. And it's important to note that the more you approach your fears and insecurities with curiosity and compassion, and also, you know, with the intention of challenging these fearful thought patterns, these very cyclical thought patterns, the quicker you reprogram your fears into healthier ways of relating to yourself and others, okay? It's essential for really just cultivating a secure attachment. And if you have an anxious attachment style and you're ready to dive deeper into this work, I highly, highly recommend doing my digital course, My Secure Self Academy for the Anxious Attachment Style, as it guides you through my entire coaching process with effective strategies and tools for embodying that more secure attachment style. Okay, so the link to that is in the show notes, or you can visit jessicadesilvacoaching.com. And soon I'm going to have this course for all the other attachment styles. So that will be coming up within the next few months or so. It's such a process to create this course because there's so much that it incorporates. So that will be coming out soon and I will inform you guys on that. All right. Wishing you all the best. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, please rate it or leave a comment. Hearing your feedback just motivates me to create more content for you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode.